From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Request. We are back again on a Wednesday.
How about that? Back again on a Wednesday. That's right. It is a Wednesday, isn't it?
It is a Wednesday. There's some people who have regular jobs, other than people like me who are all over the place. This is a hump day, and don't take that the way it sounds.
Yeah. There's a commercial with a camel walking through the thing.
Yeah.
Well,
anyways, a lot to go on. In fact, stand by for this.
Broadcasting live from Eugene, Oregon, with a roundtable discussion of today's news, here's Robin.
Yes, there's some exciting news going on in the U.S. Despite everything that's going on in Syria, Egypt, and every place else around the world, and despite the fact that the government is full of the fact that we're still in a recession and everything else is going on in the world. What's in the top stories today? Sunny. Not the weather. Obama's new puppy.
Well, of course it's in the news. I mean, you get a new puppy, that's important.
That's right.
I mean, if you have a family, and of course now his kids are getting fairly old now.
Okay, yeah.
But if you have a family, that's the most important thing there is a puppy. A second puppy is pretty important, too, but just a puppy, that's important.
Yeah, we should stop the world and just go, oh, well, just like in the beauty pageants, you know, I'd like to buy the world a puppy. Well, you know, maybe in a way that's not a bad idea if you stop and think about it.
Well, actually, if the whole world had a puppy, they'd probably be better off. I read a whole thing about a dog. Puppy dog being good for your health.
Well, yeah, and look at the businesses that it would spur up. You know, you'd have all the little I'm trying to do this politically correct. People with
politically correct. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Me worrying about being politically correct. Gun collectors.
What about gun collectors?
Gun.
What?
Puppy poo.
Okay.
All those dogs have to go somewhere.
Well, you know, that depends on where you are. Some places just allow it.
That's like the poor guy that whose job now is to, he's going, oh, God, the Obama's got another dog that means you've got to take care of him and pick up more crap.
Well, they've got somebody to do that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, we got to have something for people to do. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's one of the Secret Service guys that runs around cleaning up after the dog. Now he's got two dogs.
Yeah. Do they do a background check on the dog?
I'm sure they probably do. This is a pretty young dog, though. He doesn't have much background to check on.
I don't know. It could be a Republican in disguise.
Well, you know, that could be, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yes.
They could be feeding him, what do you call it, back information, wrong information.
That's true. But have you noticed that the dog is black?
No, I didn't see the picture of it. I just heard about him.
Yes. So I think, once again, okay, people, you heard it here first. The Obama's got a second black dog. That is totally racist.
You need to turn your volume down here. Also cutting out.
Also yelling.
I know. But if you're going to yell, that's fine, but turn your volume down.
people, the Obama's a dog, and I have a white dog, so it's not balanced out, so that must be totally...
Turning the volume down doesn't help if you get right on top of the microphone. It's the same thing.
Always a critic.
Yes. Well, you cut out, and nobody can hear you.
Yeah, so how about the fact that the Obama's racist with another black dog?
Well, his first dog wasn't black.
Yeah, first dog's black. Well, it's black, too.
It is?
Yes.
I saw...
Me and you and a dog named Bo. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought the first dog was kind of brown.
No, he's black with white feet.
Oh.
Yes.
I showed you how much attention I paid the president's dog.
You should be. Somebody should be paying attention to that dog. I'm sure those kids aren't.
Well.
And I'm probably sure that the president isn't.
And I don't.
In fact, it says right here that the first lady has reported she hosted a doggy play date because Bo doesn't have enough dog interaction.
Well, that means that she's paying attention. Somebody is taking care of the dog. Gee whiz. I mean, you know, she hasn't hosted a kiddies play date for the kids yet, has she?
I don't know.
At least it hasn't been in the news. So obviously the dog gets more attention than the children if they do that. I don't know if she has. I don't think she's done anything for the kids.
I don't know. And what do we really know about this dog? I mean, where did the dog come from? What's its background? I mean, the people that raised the puppy, the doggy's parents. I mean, how do we know it's eating in the country legally?
Well, now you see, they've got to take all that into consideration. They've got to take a look at all of that because, you know, if the dog was here illegally, I don't know what they'd do. That'd be interesting to find out.
Yes. On tonight's news, President's new puppy is in the country illegally. The INS, formerly known as the INS, is in.
Really, that's ridiculous. I don't know. The puppy. I wasn't paying attention if I didn't even know the dog was black.
See, the dog slipped right underneath the political radar, and nobody else caught it. But you heard it here first, right here on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. And if the NSA happens to be listening and feels like doing an investigation, we're actually KPNW.
Okay. If you say so.
Oh, hell.
I'm looking up here. I didn't... I'm taking a look at the dogs. So they are all black. Well, good.
That is a shocker. They are black. We have white dogs. Everybody that Obama puts in the office, if you happen to know, is black.
Well, now, just wait a second here.
Not that I'm racist. I'm just.
It says here, I'm looking it up, and it says pink, female, curly, and 4 weeks old. And then it shows a black dog.
There's no such thing as a pink dog, unless somebody colored it pink.
Did Sonny Obama
pink is not
begin life as pink, well-bred puppy dog from a Republican home? You weren't the first one to think about this. That's bad. We're in trouble now because anytime that's the worst, that's the quickest thing people come to mind, is this dog a Republican dog? God, no wonder our country's in as bad a shape as this. If that's all we can think about.
That's right. I mean, he could be a spy. Or she.
He could be a she.
Now I could just hear the arguments on The View, you know. Well, I really think that we should welcome the dog in because it would bring the White House to the Enlightenment.
It's a Portuguese water dog.
See, it is a foreigner.
Yes. Well, every dog is.
Well, yeah, but this one is a Portuguese. How do we know it's
wasn't born in Portugal.
Oh, that's right. It could have been brought over here by it. Its parents could have been brought over here, snuck over, and so Sonny was brought over against her will, and so therefore, being the fact that they now is employed by the White House. Did the go through and do all the investigation that's required that everybody else that joined the, you know, worked in the White House?
PWD, what are PWDs? Small world of PWD breeders.
Parents without doggies? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just glancing through this and it doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe it's because it's a dog. I don't know, because I don't make much sense of dog information.
Yes. And it says here, we suspect Sonny will follow in Bo's footsteps and keep the president company in the Oval Office, go for walks with the first family, and after 6:30 family dinner, even jump up on the first lady's lap from time to time, which, of course, sends the Secret Service up through the roof because they think that the first lady was being attacked by a small black hairy thing.
Okay. I'm lost. A small black hairy thing.
And speaking of lost, by the way, let's give out the information so if somebody else wants to join this conversation or has something better to talk about today, how would they do
that? Well, I don't know if I want anybody to join this conversation. Let's just, if you want to change the conversation and talk about something legitimate, 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887.
And if you happen to be listening to us as one of the 3,000 per week average now, thank you very much to the archives, you can still send us emails at talk@krbnradio.com. And if you'd like to be a guest on the program, just put the word guest in the subject line, and please send us an email that is valid. That kind of makes it easier to get a hold of you.
Yeah, that would be easier. Of course, maybe they don't. A lot of people don't want to get a, want people to want us to get a hold of them.
Well, we had one in the chat room last week that asked that they can come on the program, and I said, yeah, you know, just send us an email, and they did, and I responded to it, and it got bounced back to me. So thank you very much. You must not really want to be on the show that bad, but yeah, be sure your email is a valid email that you send us, and it does make communication and back to you a lot easier.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how much I trust email. It could have been a valid email and got bounced back anyway.
It could. We've actually had, believe it or not, is that I responded back to one email, and that's not the believe it or not part, by the way. I did back to emails. But it got kicked back as we were on a blacklist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
blacklisted, huh?
Yeah, so I wrote the company, and they said, oops, we assumed. And I go, besides that, that's racist, just like the dog, Sonny, so, which I didn't know at the time. That
what are you talking about? God damn. You are completely off the wall today. I swear. You are really into racists all of a sudden.
This is called working at night, folks, and getting very little sleep.
Well, obviously, you've got very little sleep because I don't know where you're going to from here or there or where. I was sitting here trying to find out more information about the dog, and I'm not going to bother anymore because I get too lost.
Yes, we know everything that everybody didn't really care to know about the dog, because the dog is more important than Egypt and Syria and everything else that's going on. So,
see, that's what I got down. I've got that's the subjects I've got down. Of course, you know, the other subject is if I haven't talked about the wildfire and the Columbia Gorge, and that's liable to get us.
Yeah, I used to drive up and down 84 every day, and actually the islands in the middle of the gorge were commonly set on fire. I don't know how, but
yeah, but that's okay if it's an island in the middle. That's no big thing, but this is not, and it's getting bigger, it's not getting smaller, and we've only got it, 10% contained at this particular point, and it's already burned. This is the third house now that it's burned down. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, because the houses are pretty close down there. It's a fairly well populated area, and it's about 10 miles southwest of the Dalles. So it's 15% contained. So it's got a long, that's not very much And when we're talking about a wildfire, that's very, very small.
Right. Unless it's your house, and it's a major concern.
Yeah. It's not a big fire yet, as a matter of fact, but it's next to us. It's happening to us. And so it doesn't have to be big to be very important.
Well, that's true. Especially if, in fact, they I want to say the... BLM or whoever is the that manages the forests or whatever, finally made the contract with that big, there's an airline, that, or not an airline, but there's a company that fights fires, and they have this huge converted airplane that the Bureau of Forestry didn't want to do a contract with, and they finally did. This thing's like the equivalent of two or three of the normal size planes that are used. So they finally did that.
You know, I wonder when they're doing that, they've got these big airplanes. Do they have tanks inside the airplane where normally people would sit? And is that full of the fire retardant stuff? Because they, when they drop that fire retardant, there's a huge amount of stuff that comes out of that airplane.
No, I'd fight on the belly.
Wow. I mean, I you see those things going, and there's a tremendous amount of stuff that comes out of those things. I don't know where they hold it all. They can't be in the wing because that's where they hold the gas that keeps the airplane up. So it almost has to be in the center.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 13 miles already, and that's, you know, 13 square miles is a lot of land. Even it isn't big as far as wildfires go, but it's still a lot. That's huge as far as I'm concerned. And especially since it's, you know, only 10 miles southwest of the Dalles, and it's 13 miles in area. It is, you know, the Dalles is a fairly good-sized town, and they're going to have to make sure that they don't lose the Dalles.
That's true.
Yeah. They got 800 people fighting that fire right now. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because that's kind of important to people who live around here, and especially people who live up around the Dalles area. I mean, the Dalles is that's the big town up in that area.
Oh yeah, in fact, I actually got interviewed by Google up there, and I turned them down.
Well, then basically Google will take care of it. Then they'll make sure it doesn't burn anything.
Yeah.
Well, they'll spend. They have the money to spend. They have more money probably to spend than the whole city of Dalles.
Actually, they Google, speaking of, had a 5-minute outage.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know. Because I happened to be working and not playing at the time. But you know, it's kind of interesting with their massive network that they actually would have. You know,
actually, I would think the other way around. With their massive network, it's amazing they don't have a lot more outages than that. I mean, how do you keep track of all of that? My God, that's got to be an unbelievable task to try to keep that up and going all the time. I'm with another network with my own system, and they're having a problem now. Of course, you know, one of the things that happens is, like the network I'm with, is going to have a downtime, like 8 or 9 hours, but they're moving and changing equipment. So Google must be so big that they can change equipment and you don't have to go down.
Huh. Oh, and speaking of news and whatnot, as I'm prosing, looking for some good stuff to talk about, this headline here, which caught my attention, spoon in underwear actually saves youth from forced marriage.
What? A spoon in underwear.
Yeah, spoon. Having a spoon in your underwear actually saves you from getting married.
Oh, a spoon in your underwear.
I
was talking about spooning your underwear on.
Now, that gives too many weird videos.
Yeah, it did.
Especially with my sense of humor. You don't want to go there.
Well, even having a spoon in your underwear, that's pretty weird, too. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, so anyway, this is from London, England, as Britons put the Air Force staff on alert to spot potential victims of forced marriage. One campaigning group says that the trick of putting a spoon in their underwear has saved some youngsters from being forced from a forced union in their South Asian ancestral homelands. The concealed spoon sits off the metal detector at the airport in Britain, and the teenagers can be taken away from their parents to be searched. A last chance to escape the largely hidden practice wrecking the lives of unknown thousands of British youths.
Okay. I hate to tell you this, but there's forced marriages or marriages that are arranged by their parents or someone else, that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. And it's not just British youth. It's, there are countries around the... What?
What's a ute?
No. That's ridiculous. I mean, that should be against the law.
Well, I think it is. In fact, one of the youngsters looked in the group and said, you know how hard it is to find a metal spoon these days?
Actually, it's not that hard at all, I don't think. But I don't know what to... That's just ridiculous to put a spoon... I mean, that's... having forced marriages, you know, that or pre-arranged marriage, there are people in the United States, a lot of people in the United States that have pre-arranged marriage, whether they like it or not.
It says here that the... this is from Fox News, by the way. I give credit to that. The spoon trick is the brainchild of Karma Nevada charity, which supports victims and survivors of forced marriage and honor-based abuse. So I get to see Sally Struthers coming in now and going, please help prevent forced marriages.
What does Sally Struthers have to do with it?
Well, because she used to do the Feed the Children type of stuff, and it was just a visual I was having about her sitting there. And
you and your visuals, we're in trouble today, though, folks. This is visuals day for Robin, and you get her going on free for all. We're in trouble.
Hey, we have 63 minutes more to fill up.
Well, there's lots of things to talk about. One of the things that people are interested in, for example, is this guy Bradley Manning. He's going to serve 35 years in prison. He's 35 years in prison for handing over all 700,000 classified files to the WikiLeaks place. That's not very much. Plus the fact, if he was sentenced to 35 years, he's actually not going to serve very much at all. I don't know how much it breaks down to. It's only very little time, if you've sentenced to serve 35 years, you probably won't even serve half of that, maybe a quarter of that. And I think he should be, he should serve life in prison for giving away secrets to the United States.
Well, actually, the prosecutors had to ask for 90 years. And so they decided, to go for, like I said, 35 years. The prison sentence given to Army PFC, whichever PFC stands for. You know that, what it stands for.
First class, yes.
Bradley Manning.
Yes.
For the largest leak of classified information in U.S. history.
Right. And that's not very long. I mean, it's longer than any other sentence, but it's more important. I mean, how many people could give away? Well, the one thing that I know is that he didn't know enough. He didn't know enough of real important secrets to make it really a problem for the military. As soon as he gave away any of those things, all of that information has changed anyway. So, but that doesn't mean he didn't try. I mean, he really tried to give away, to screw up the government, and I think he should never get out of jail, never.
He doesn't have to try to screw up the government.
That's right. He doesn't have to. They're screwed up enough. But for him to jump in and try to do something too, for an individual to try to play the game and know what's better than anybody else. In other words, they're doing this on my behalf, whether I like it or not. And I don't. And so consequently, as far as I'm concerned, the man should never get out of jail.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my computer to do something. I hate it when I get snubbed by my computer and the mouse just... He's probably mad because the other computer... I went and got another wireless mouse because the first wireless mouse was actually feeling kind of... bored and lonely, kind of like Bo, the president's dog who had to have Sonny. So now I got two wireless mice, and that has nothing to do with anything except to kill time as I'm trying to read this article.
Are they actually not working at the same time, are they?
No, usually I use one at a time.
But I mean, there are different frequencies. I mean, you can't have two wireless mice.
Well, you can. It's just that, you know, they have their own. It's like having Bluetooth. You know, you can have Bluetooth is on the 2.1 gigahertz frequency, and they just have different transponder codes.
See, I believe that we're actually getting to the point that we're the world is not meant to be wireless.
What?
This whole system is you're stretching the realm of credibility now, and so you should learn how to, you know, it's not that difficult to plug in a wire.
Yeah, but then you got all those wires instead of being able to clog up and have all this frequencies going around through your head. I mean, look at all those cell towers that wouldn't be there if it wasn't for wireless.
You see, I think putting in a wire, it would be better than not having it work.
Yeah.
And here we are yelling and screaming and hollering because the wireless doesn't work. You wouldn't have that problem if you used a wire.
And speaking of, by the way, going back to the puppy that's collected online, and I copied it off the White House blog, by the way. Sonny, he's saying it's spelled with an I, not a Y.
Okay. Well, of course, she's a girl.
Well, talk to you about the White House blog, because that's where I got the information. It's spelled S-U-N-N-Y.
Well, it's probably was written by a guy, you know, the blog itself.
That could be.
I mean, I doubt very much that the president sits down and writes his blog. Or any blog. In fact, he probably doesn't even know how. I don't think the president knows how to even start a blog.
Well, he needs a teleprompter.
Really?
And
an instruction book.
It doesn't say who wrote the blog, but the photos were done by Pete Souza.
Okay. So he doesn't know how to spell Sonny if it's a girl.
Yes. So here you go. Again, you're going to have the women on The View arguing over the spelling of the name.
Well, and, well, the women won't be arguing over it.
He says that, Flycat says, they choose the name to suit their Muslim identity.
What? Sonny is Muslim?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, Sonny's Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Thank you. You're the professional. I'm the one that's just waking up. Well, yeah, I mean, Sonny's a foreigner, so, I mean, it could be Muslim. We don't know.
Every dog is a foreigner.
Well, unless they're born by parents in the United States, and the 14th Amendment says that they are now U.S. citizens.
Sonny was born by parents in the United States.
See? But we don't know the background of Sonny's parents. And we're back to that argument again.
Sonny was born in Michigan, I think, or something like that.
Okay. Moving off the dog, figuratively.
Yes.
646-721-9887.
646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. And if you have something you want to talk about, let us know, because there's a lot of other things out there that are of interest than the president's dog, for that matter.
There is?
Oh, yes. Yeah, back to Eugene, back in right here at home, we've got the big events going on, the track and field things. We've got the...
Well, build it up, because people won't believe this.
What?
Okay. Eugene is the home of the famous Eugene Celebration, which every year elects a slug queen. And so, Cliff, tell them what the celebration is.
This is the first time I've heard about it. I don't know anything about a slug queen.
Oh, yeah, it goes on every year. Now, they have the Kaleidoscope Festival.
Okay.
That's one of the big happenings going on here, which I've never been to, but I'm picturing a bunch of people walking around with a kaleidoscope up to their face going, ooh, ah.
Well, this doesn't, I didn't know anything about a kaleidoscope. This has to do with the track meet, 10-miler, and the runners, and all that sort of thing. On Sunday, September 29th, 8 a.m., Alton Baker Park. You can choose to participate in a 5K, 10K run, or let's see, a 5K run, 5K walk, or the fabulous 10-mile run. And that's what I was talking about. It had nothing to do with Slugfest.
Slugfest. It's the new celebration which elects a slug queen to celebrate the huge, ugly yellow banana slug.
I've never heard of that. I've heard about the celebration for years, and I've never heard about a slug queen.
Yes.
And they've been doing that all along?
Yes. It is an annual event. But then again, you don't live in Eugene, thank God.
That's true, I don't. And I mean, we've gone to the Eugene celebration several times, but I've never had anything to do with a slug.
You missed the slug queen event.
And
that's the parade and everything?
It's a parade?
Hell yeah.
My God, where have I been? I mean, wow.
What am I going to do with you?
I don't know.
You're supposed to be a reporter and everything.
No, I'm not. I was never a reporter. We went there and broadcast from there and did things like that, but I was never a reporter, no.
Okay, I'm looking up, but I can spell it Australian right. This is suggested by in the chat room. And yes, people, if you'd like to join us in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. About an Australian baseball player killed by three black youths is what he's saying, so I'm looking it up right now.
That has to do with the slug queen?
No, that's totally different than the slug queen. And that's different topic. Stay with the program here.
What do you mean with stay with the program? I was trying to stay with the program. You moved the program. I just looked up slug queen, and it says the coronation has slimed its way in and out of the official status as the Eugene celebration. See, it's not an official thing. What is currently an independent of any organization, 2012 made the 30th anniversary of the Slug Queen celebration. They don't officially talk about that, obviously.
Well, you can see how much it made headlines.
Where,
but anyway,
Miss Garlic, Miss Rutabaker, Miss Rodeo Queen. Wait, this is ridiculous.
You got to get out more often.
Obviously. Or maybe I've gotten out too much already as it is. I did not know about this. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let's go to something else. Anything else?
How about Oklahoma City, where an Australian baseball player went out for a jog in an Oklahoma neighborhood and was shot and killed by three bored teenagers who decided to kill someone just for fun.
Well, now that goes along with something that I had listed on here. And I wanted to talk about, we've got to put back or reinstitute or reinstigate or whatever mental institutions. We've opened up all of our mental institutions in this country and just closed them down and just turned people loose. And we've now got a bunch of mentally ill people running the streets. And what?
And the government.
Well, we knew about the government. That's standard procedure. But we do have to do something about putting people away, because we've got people being shot. I mean, this guy, there have been people, there's another guy that went into a school. He took a gun into the school. He didn't shoot anybody. He didn't even fire a shot, but he took a gun into school, and this got all, maybe he was trying to get all the kids out of school or something, I don't know. But we keep having this sort of thing, and now we've got, you know, three teenagers. Somewhere along the line, our system is breaking down, and we need to know what to do about it and how to get it back together again, because that's ridiculous to have three teenagers shoot somebody.
Well, and they're between 15 and 17 years old. I mean, first of all, to kind of go along with what you're saying is that when our society is actually at a point where, hey, Frank, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go out and kill somebody. And two other people are going, yeah, hey, man, that's really a great idea.
Well, you know, I can see that happening because teenagers do that sort of thing. What are we going to do today? I don't know. I mean, there was one time when I was a young person, we sat around, a friend of mine and myself sat around, and we just tried to decide what to do. And we decided that whatever we did, it had to be something that was against the law. And so we went out and did, I'm not going to go into what it was. It had nothing to do with hurting anybody.
Yeah, and we don't know if the statute of limitations exceeded anyways. But.
Oh, well, the statute has, yes. It was 50 years ago. But the point is...
Yeah, going to the store and shoplifting some Twinkies and going out and taking somebody's life, I mean, come on, what happened to any type of, you know, somewhat common sense?
Well, that's the thing. When you're 15, there is a point. See, I'm really kind of drawn between this because I think a young person at 15, 16 years old should be considered an adult and should have enough smarts to act like an adult. But that doesn't mean they all do.
No, it doesn't.
We have people at 40 years old who don't have enough smarts to act like an adult. So that's another story entirely. But the point is we have more of a chance of people doing something or making the wrong decision at 15 than they would at 30. So we as people in the United States, as adults in the United States, are messing up because we're not doing the right thing by our kids. We're not teaching our children the proper thing. We're not instilling in our children the proper philosophies and the proper ideas. And then we get upset when they do something wrong. It's not their fault. It is their fault, but it isn't their fault. I mean, chances are they know the difference, ultimately, between right and wrong, but it's not been pounded into their heads like it used to be. And that's what we've got to get back to. We've got to get pounding into the heads. For one thing, it's become almost impossible to discipline your own child.
What? I said that's true.
And so that's a real problem, and we need to find some way to work with the authorities. Well, we are the authorities of making these decisions, and we've got to make a change. There's got to be a little bit more control over the young people in our society, and we need to make it doesn't have to be, you know, to discipline a child doesn't mean you have to beat them to death. That's not necessary, but you should be able to at least get the thoughts in their minds and mold their minds to the proper way of thinking.
They don't even teach kids how to look both ways before crossing the street nowadays.
Especially if they're reading a text in a telephone. They've got that telephone in front of their face and they're not paying any attention to anything.
Just like my computer right now, who's snubbing me in my...
You have a problem with your computers, don't you?
You need
to teach your computers to do something better.
That's right. How do you discipline a computer? You can't wait. It doesn't care.
Well, you learn how to use it.
Oh. That's right. I have a college education in computers.
That's the interesting part. You're the one that's computer savvy, not me. And I don't have any problem with my computer. It does what I want it to do.
Yes. Like, I just go, I've been snubbed by better than machines than you. But
no kidding.
What I'm trying to find out if my computer will keep up with me is Flycatch in the chat room was mentioning that, and I would go back and say, oh, there's my mouse. Hi, mouse. It's still doing anything, but it's back at least. Says the Huffington Post broke the national level, but did not mention the race of the shooters. Of course, doing the racist thing again. Let's see. It's a good thing I got two computers here. The other one's actually working. Unfortunately, the other one is not the one that has the board on it. So keep talking while I'm waiting for my computer to catch up.
Well, I'm lost entirely as to what we're even talking about now.
The basketball player that got shot by three board teams.
Oh, I...
That one.
I didn't have that information.
The race of the three shooters, by the way, one is white and the other two are black, at least according by the assumption of looking at the pictures.
It doesn't tell you what they are, huh?
It would if my mouse would work.
Now, where did this happen?
This happened in, going back up, Oklahoma City.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, but it's interesting that, even the suggestions that, well, it must be racist. And, you know, I get so damn tired of this racist crap, you know?
Well, almost everything has to be racist. I mean, it turns out that there's something about it that's racist. Actually, you know, it doesn't need to be racist because there has to be more behind, I believe, them shooting a person than just I'm bored and have nothing else to do.
Right.
I believe there's more to it than that. When we get right down to it, we'll find out there's significantly more to it than that. But who knows what? And the thing is, we jump to the... See, our problem right now is that we get too much information too fast. Okay? The information is available to us by the internet or whatever almost instantly.
Is it that, or are we so brainwashed now that it doesn't matter? I mean, like I said, you know, kind of at the beginning of the program, joking about how the news about the president's puppy is more important than Syria and Egypt and everything else going on in the world, is that we've become so desensitized. I mean, just like here's this is from CBS News regarding the basketball player. It says they saw Christopher go, I'm quoting, they saw Christopher go by, and this is one of the shooters, by the way. They saw Christopher go by, and one of them said, "That's our target." Ford said, "The boy who has talked to us, they were bored and didn't have anything else to do, so we decided to kill somebody."
Well, see, that's where our society has broken down, is because, you know, obviously these kids have not been nurtured in life enough to realize that there is a reason not to kill people. You know, there's got to be something. I don't know. I just say there's got to be something wrong there. There's got to be something more to that than what we're seeing here. I mean, who said that bit about, well, there's our target, we have nothing else to do, we're bored? Who said that? The kids themselves?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't
believe that. There's something more to that. They've got a reason that they didn't like this guy, whatever it is.
Yeah, he just had me in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he's white.
Well, one of them was, supposedly.
Yeah, white with two black friends, but I guess you could say that that's reverse racism or something. I don't know.
Well, I just think that we've there's more to that, I believe, than what we have reported to us. And we may never have anything else reported to us because the people who are really going to find out about what actually happened may never say anything because it may be, and it'll be, of course, to protect the three guys that did this, you know. We can't give them a bad mark in their life. And it's a bunch of crap, you know.
Well, maybe this has something to do with it. One of the suspect's mothers told a CBS affiliate, AWTV in Oklahoma City, her son and his friends were in a, as they put it in quotes, wannabe gang. Police told that the suspects may have killed an animal prior to shooting Lane, and they plan on killing more people. So maybe that's the point, like you say right there, is not just the fact they're bored, is maybe gangs and stuff like that are being too glamorized.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, the gangs have entrance fees, entrance things they do. You got to do this to be a part of our gang. You got to kill one person or something like that. And the thing is, it could be that this was not really the case of to do this. This is just what some kid said as a joke or something, and these three took it for real. I mean, it's just so many things that could be that. But what I'm saying is we've got the information the instant it happens. You know, this happens and
well, yeah, but
hours later it comes our way as a piece of news. But nobody has the information to fill out the story.
Well, why isn't the White House coming out and talking about this? Why isn't Joe Biden coming out and saying that if I had a son, it would be like Christopher Lane and getting the U.S. riled up over that?
Well, of course, that's an obvious answer. The White House can't get involved in everything because something like this happens in the country almost every day.
Yeah, and that means Biden would have to wake up.
It means that we really wouldn't have anything else to do. Why we had got involved in that one is another story entirely, other than the fact that we have a black president and this was a black situation, and that's.
And you don't hear much about Joe Biden, anyways, except for the fact that his son had
his cancer.
Yeah, but the big mouth in the White House, yeah.
You know, I don't mind saying bad things about the president to a certain extent, but there is a point where we've got to take off and stop saying bad things, because this man, he really doesn't know what he's doing. He really does not know what he's doing. He doesn't have enough smarts to consider what he's doing is right or wrong or indifferent, and that's why we've got to find a different way to get around him. I mean, we've got to get rid of him.
Well, one thing I'll go along with you is that just like here, the Christopher Lane thing, the basketball player, is criticizing the president like you're talking about. Yeah, we joke about it. The sad thing about it is that it's a very serious issue. Just like with the kids feeling like they're bored, they want to be in a gang and, you know, to maybe get into a gang, I'm assuming. Well, they'll go get their stripes by running out and killing people. You know, look at us. We can go out and kill a jogger, an unsuspecting victim.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with anything except he was a foreign national visiting his girlfriend, you know. Oh, boy, let's rack that up. You know, he's going to get rewarded by, you know, three meals and a cot. I just got cut crazy again. That's okay. I like being corrected. I said basketball. It's actually baseball. My error. I apologize. But either way, basketball, baseball is the whole point. And again, thank you for correcting. The whole point is that, you know, has our society gone that bad that life means so little?
That's what I'm trying to say. We have, as parents, let down our youngsters, our progeny. Because we're not teaching them the right things. We're not bothering I want to say beat into their heads, but not physically, but literally. We've got to give them the background that we've just let the people go. I mean, there are places where I was just absolutely astounded that people live in a big apartment building, for example, where the mother won't come out of the building. She won't come out of the house because she's afraid of the kids that are outside. And if you can't leave your own home because you're afraid of your own kids, we've got a problem. Big, big, big problem in this country. And if that's the case, maybe we shouldn't have that big apartment building there. Maybe we shouldn't have, you know, the ability for these kids to get into a gang like that so easily. And the thing is, one of the problems that I have with allowing us as people to be afraid of gangs. What is a gang? What is a kid's gang? It's nothing more than a group of people, just like the United, just like Americans, the regular American people. They do it better than we do. I mean, their gang is a better town or better community than ours, and we need to get together and get smart and wake up, and arrange to have our community better than theirs, and then we need to get back control of this country.
Oh yeah, just like Flycatch is mentioning on the board here, is that, you know, the media is not doing its job. Well, it's true. I mean, I remember her hearing just a small snippet on the news about it, but, you know, we don't get in and really talk about our the way we should. I mean, we get headlines. If my mouse will work this.
Okay, I'll disagree with this guy, because it's not the media that should be doing this. It should be us individually. As parents, we need to control our children. I don't mean literally control them. I mean, we need to teach them what is good, bad, or indifferent, and then see to it that they understand that. If these kids had grown up in a proper environment, they wouldn't go out and do this sort of thing. They'd know that the human life was more important than that, and they wouldn't do it. That's just all there is to it.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess that's where I'm going, is at what point did it become okay to go ahead and do harm to other people? Because, you know, that was when I was growing up, that was a bad thing.
Well, see, if the parents are not teaching you anything, and if the mother and father or mother or whatever is so afraid to go out of the house, she's so afraid of her kids, then we need to do one of two things: either stop having kids, or teach the parents how to take control of the kids.
I mean, for the right reason.
What's that?
Or have kids for the right reason. But even at that point, how many people do you know came from bad families, or, you know, broken families? I mean, I did.
That's not it. That's not it. I'm from a broken family too, and it's not that didn't. It would never have entered my head to go out and shoot somebody.
Well, me neither. I mean, I felt like everybody at one point or another says, "Yeah, I'd love to go kill this person," but you're not really thinking about going out and doing it.
I don't usually even think of it in terms of that. I think in terms of, you know, pounding them into the ground or something like that. But it's just. You're right. It's not something that you really think about literally doing. You know, you think about doing something to them to make them listen or do things that you should. I know. It's just you're not. It's the parents of these kids are not awake. They're not accomplishing anything. And there's for one thing, maybe we need to have parenting classes in this country.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that the parents, they can't do anything. I remember a story, I think it was in Florida, where the parents actually wanted to divorce their child because they said a Florida law states that they are responsible for the child until they become 18 years old. In other words, if a child goes and holds up our shoplifts, the parent can go to jail. Well, they said that it's unfair because if they try to discipline their child, all the schools teach them to pick up the phone and threaten to call 911.
Well, see, that's the problem we have right now. That's what we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. That's what's happening in our society. You can't discipline your child. Of course, you got to understand that discipline does not mean beat them to death. Discipline does not mean hitting a child. Discipline could be done a lot of different ways. Now, there possibly is a way that there are some children, I agree, I understand that there are children, there are some people who you can't help. They are going to go out and do things regardless of what. Then you need to lock them up. It's as simple as that. And a child can be locked up as easily as an adult can be, one way or another. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you need to go out and go beat on your kids to make them do what you want them to do. That doesn't accomplish any, it does temporarily make them afraid of you so that you can't do anything. But even that would be better than what's going on now and making the parent afraid of the child. That's where you're at this point.
Well, speaking of, you know, I remember that, you know, growing up being afraid of numbers because, you know, when I got in trouble, the first thing out of my parents' mouth was
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, which I was very impressed, by the way, that my parents could count without taking off their shoes. But that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
the point was is that, you know, back then they actually could beat the crap out of you. And just like back then, you could ride a bicycle without a helmet and protective gear and know that if you fell off, it was going to hurt.
Yeah, that's, you know, we are getting to the point of protecting us against ourselves. We're way, way ahead of the point that we should be. We, you know, like you say, if you ride a bicycle and without a helmet and you fall off, it should hurt.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, but
and
learn something from
it. That's the thing. We're not learning anything from the way we live now. We're not, at least, we are learning something. We're learning the wrong thing, unfortunately. That's the way the thing is going at the moment.
Well, here's a good example. And this is tragic because it happened to a friend of mine's son. He's, I think, 21, 22 now. And he's already got his DUI, already sent somebody to the hospital, and, you know, wrecked his car and just wrecked his second car. Now, where I'm going with all that is that before all this protective system where you can get into a car and you're kind of a little bit more cautious because, you know, if you get into a wreck, it's going to hurt. Once you've been into an accident and you got the airbags and now you've got cars that with crumple zones and airbags all over the place, just like my roommate's car that she loaned it out, and this guy ran into a telephone pole at about 50 miles an hour, literally chopped the telephone pole in half, totaled the car, but the airbag came out and he walked away with barely a scratch on him. So with that type of experience of, you know, again, the bubble wrap society, what's to be afraid? Why should you be more cautious about avoiding telephone poles that jump out in front of you because you know that if you hit one, the car is going to take the impact, you're going to walk away. And unlike before, you know, you would have been, you know, concussion, scratched up, dead, or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that. See, that's part of the thing. I can understand trying to get the car to take the problem and protect us if possible. But the thing is, you've got to have some sort of consequence, and we don't have much of anything that we have consequence for. That's we've been trying to eliminate any consequences of being responsible for ourselves for a long time now, and we've gone way too far, way too far.
Right. No, I agree, and you know that gets back to you know, getting hurt. If you get hurt, you know, it's like putting your hand on a hot stove. You know, chances are you'll only do it once.
yeah, that's true. Of course, unless you have, like me, an uncle who invited me to and helped me. But anyway, that's another story. But any way you look at it, you've got to learn, and we don't have the learning experience anymore. If your mother is afraid to run out of the house and you're not, you can go out and do whatever you want to.
Right.
And consequently, you know, if the parent is not going to do anything about it, is not going to control your life in any way, shape, or form, then unfortunately, I'm afraid we're going to have to start relying on the protection of the police department or something, and we're going to have to put people, you know, back in some sort of a. I don't want it to necessarily be a jail, but that's basically what it is. Some sort of a way to control their life, and but the thing is, when you've got people in jail or any kind of a incarcerated situation, you're usually not teaching them much of anything. So you're damned if you do, and we're still damned if you don't.
Right. I have no answers except. You know, like I say, the society has got to the point that it's just got so cheap. Maybe that has to go along with, like I was saying earlier, the headlines or what we see that's important to us. Like Ted Cruz releases his birth certificate. Oh, big deal. Who cares? You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah. Ted Cruz releases his birth certificate. Who's that?
Exactly. I don't know. I don't care. You know.
Okay.
Not even going to have something to read about. That's how much I don't care. But that, why is that a headline that is being most discussed right now?
Well, it has to do with the president and his birth certificate. It's a joke.
That could be.
I heard it on the radio this morning, and it was a joke anyway. That one was. I assume this is too.
If it has nothing to do with the X Factor, or American Idol, or the Ducks football, then it's not important.
That's true. That's true. That's and see that's a possible that's probably a part of the problem. Our priorities are way out of whack. Way out of whack. We don't consider the right thing. I mean, even I suppose if you were to get down to it, if we're talking about sports, we hopefully think that sports is a good teacher, but obviously it's not.
Yeah. Well, even sports, I mean, well, okay. A lot of schools now don't have sports because either funding or because they're afraid of the lawsuits if somebody gets hurt. And we won't go into the skateboard parks, but they...
Well, you see, I disagree with that because when I went to school, I'm old, and when I went to school, we didn't have sports in grade school. We didn't have grade school baseball team and football teams. We had those. That was something that happened when you were in high school, and you waited until you were in high school to do that sort of thing. So we're getting to the point now. We've got baseball teams and all these sort of teams starting clear back in grammar school now, and we just don't need that. You know, send the kids out and let them play. And if they don't want to play, big deal.
If they
want to go out and sit around on the ground in the grass and do nothing, fine. Let them do that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care who you are. You don't make a child have fun. You don't make anybody have fun.
I'll put a thing that's uncomfortable. I remember in junior high, if people remember what junior high is, that being forced to participate in football, which I knew nothing about football. I don't to this day know nothing about football and still care just about as much. And remembering these three big guys who wanted this odd-shaped ball, and I basically said, here. Because I wasn't going to get hurt by these guys, and it wasn't worth fighting over. And, of course, needless to say, I never got picked for a team again, which didn't hurt my feelings.
You see, that's okay. That's one thing for you as a girl. I felt that way as a guy. I didn't care about football, basketball, any of that stuff. I was one who wanted to go out and sit down in the grass and do nothing.
Yes. Yeah, me too, which is why my life became a technophobe and computer and artist.
Well, that's it. You know, I've learned different things. And I don't think I would have learned these things if I had been interested in sports. And so consequently, I don't think it's bad to have no interest in sports whatsoever. You can have interest in different things. So, you know, if I wanted to sit down, see, the thing is, I will have to say, in the school I went to, when it was time to go out and play, you had to go out and play. Well, at least you had to go out. And so I couldn't work on a computer or work on something like that that had to do with sitting in class or in the room. So I had to go out and do nothing. I just went out and sat on the ground.
Yeah, but Cliff, when we were kids, the computer was this thing with strings or string and a few balls going across it.
Well, when I went to school, a computer didn't even exist. But the point is, I didn't stay in class and do things that I could have been doing. I mean, there were things that I wanted to do in class. In fact, of all things, as much as other things, I was into building things in woodworking class, and I wanted to go to woodworking class, and I wanted to go to that class when I was supposed to go outside and play. I wanted to go somewhere else and do something productive. I didn't want to do that, but I couldn't. I was informed that I had to go out and play. I had to go out and have fun. So I went down and sat on the grass. And that was about as fun as I could get outside.
That's right. Because back then, video games were, oh, look, we get to play Pong.
Well, they didn't even have Pong when I was a kid. You got to understand, I'm old. And so consequently, we had nothing. See, when I was going to school, I ran a theater when I was 15 years old, and that was what I did for fun, was run a theater. And that was a lot of fun. I could do things, I could build things, I could accomplish things, and it meant something. Going out and chasing around some other kid with a football, that didn't mean anything to me. That didn't accomplish anything to me. You know, going to work at a theater and building something or putting in a new screen or do something like that, that meant something to me.
You mean you are working and learned responsibility and grew up to be a responsible adult who had a career in something?
I know, that's terrible. Terrible to think about. What? Especially, nowadays I couldn't do anything. Nowadays you can't even pick strawberries, I don't think.
Exactly. It's against the law if you're a kid.
Yeah, everything is against the law.
It really is. I'm not just.
I know. That's the sad part of it. You can't do anything. You know, they want us to have responsibility. They want the kids of this day and age to be responsible for themselves, to be responsible for others. But they won't let them be. They won't let them do anything. And you know, what can you do? There's such a limited access to what you can do. And most of it has to do with something that is adult oriented or adult supervised, and that's ridiculous.
Exactly. By the way, the noise you're hearing in the background, which I apologize, but it also brings up a question I want to bring out to our listeners, was the Facebook chat room going beep-doop, and we have a Facebook page, believe it or not, folks, and my fault, haven't really been using it, but if you think it'd be a good idea to also use our KRBN radio Facebook page, especially while we're broadcasting live, make a note on Facebook or send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll actually start bringing it up and I'll run the chat room and the Facebook page at the same time because I have 4 monitors, 2 computers, a server, and I'm so wonderful. So if you think...
Well, you say it beeped at you. Was there somebody there or somebody want something or was it just going away?
The bad thing about Facebook is that all your friends, if they do something, it comes up and on the screen and goes beep beep. So, if they comment on anything or if you like something, then of course if somebody comments on what you liked, then it's got to tell you about it. And unfortunately, it's all good and well, unless of course that's the computer that you're running your audio through.
Okay.
Which is not the one with the with the mouse going on strike, by the way.
I see.
So, if you think it's a good idea, folks, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, or go ahead and tell us on Facebook, and we'll start using that. Well, I plan to use that more anyways at some point, but again, I just want to put that out there since I'm being interrupted. And also to remind you, 646-721-9887, and 21 minutes remaining in the program. Anything you'd like to talk about, serious, non-serious, give us a call, or like Flycatch, who, by the way, thank you for coming back again, has suggested about the baseball player, not the basketball player, the baseball player, which helps if I read it right. My lines.
I don't think whether it was a baseball player or a basketball player had anything to do with whether he lived or not.
No, in fact, the question that came to mind while I was thinking about that is what had happened, okay, if the baseball player had survived and turned around and attacked the kids, especially since 2 of them are black?
Well, that gets into a legal thing, and there's no way we can know about it because it gets right down to just like this last thing we had. It gets right down to the jury making up their mind of what they think is good or bad or indifferent. And, of course, that has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with legality, as a matter of fact. It has to do with the jury itself and how the lawyers manipulate that jury and at least manipulate their thinking. And that's what's wrong with our society. That's what's wrong with our people now, is because good or bad is not controlled by what is good or bad or what is even legal. It's just down to whatever the jury thinks this week. And what could be right by the jury this week might be wrong by the jury next week. And you don't know what's right and what's wrong. And we're I don't know, what am I saying?
It's glamorizing. It's like graffiti, you know. There's some really damn good graffiti artists out there, but since when does it become okay to, yes, you're talented, but since when is it okay to express your talent on my wall?
Well, that's the point. That's the point, yes. Now, again, right now, if we had walls that were put up for that purpose, or we had walls that were left up or something, or people don't mind, that would be one thing. But the thing is, there's never enough walls. And so consequently, there's going to be someone painting over the top of someone else's graffiti, and it's not going to be as good as the last one. So,
or tagging a neighborhood is like, this is my neighborhood. Okay, fine. It's your neighborhood. Take the responsibility of it instead of just putting your made-up name on my fence. You know, if you want to take responsibility and the upkeep of the neighborhood, you go right ahead and do it. But, you know, if you, you know, where's my neighborhood? But again, is it the news media? What makes it in our society okay for people to think that, you know, one, they own a neighborhood, two, they have the right to take somebody's life, or three, just to beat the crap out of somebody because it's okay and it's funny?
Again, it goes back to our parental responsibility. It goes back to our way of thinking. And our way of thinking in this country has changed a lot. And it's going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately. And so consequently, we're going to have to sit back and talk about this a lot, because there's going to be more of it as we go along and as time continues. And we're going to – it'll grow to a head, I'm sure, at a point where then it'll go the other direction. You know, we're going to be back to the point where everybody's carrying a gun and everybody is protecting themselves. I mean, it's getting to that point now. We've got more and more people carrying weapons, whether they're in sight or out of sight. And it's happening more often. And we're going to have everybody carrying a gun. So it's going to be the same thing as the old West, only it's going to be the new West, I guess. I don't know.
Well, even back when... You okay?
Yep.
Okay. You're a professional, no better than the cough on a mic, but that's beside the point.
Well, I have no choice. I don't have a switch.
Oh, okay. Anyways, back in the days when people used to carry guns, where guns were a commonplace, where even children carried guns.
They will. Everybody will.
And use matches. But back then, see, they were taught that, you know, like I tease that, well, the only thing I know about a gun is which end not to stand in front of. But they were taught responsibility. They were taught that if you don't handle this right, you can get killed.
And that's what we're not doing nowadays. We're not teaching gun responsibility. We're not teaching any kind of responsibility. We're I don't know what we are teaching.
Well, it's definitely not responsibility. Everything's all politically correct. I mean,
yeah.
Like one of these days, we keep threatening to do this. We'll have to do this pretty soon on college. You know, I spent $23,000 in 2006 to go to college, and by the time I'm done paying for this worthless, I don't have a beep button, college education, it's going to cost me about $40,000, and they focused more on being politically correct than on what I went to school for, which was to get a degree in computers. What happened to? I guess what I'm saying is that we're so concerned about, you know, political correctness that we're not doing anybody any favors, especially if you're paying for it.
Well, as far as paying for it is concerned, I'm finding out that our educational system, our public educational system, is just falling down tremendously. I mean, all of it. The people who come here, we have people coming here from other countries to go to our public education system, our higher education system, and those who come here from other countries and actually have already got the philosophy of life poured into their heads, they're accomplishing more. They're getting more out of the school than the people who are from the United States. They're better off. Better off if you really want an education. If you want to learn something, going to a private school. It may cost you a little more in the first place, but you basically are going to learn something. Whereas going to the public school, I don't think you are.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. It's too politicized, and maybe that's the biggest part there. They're talking about getting rid of the Board of Education and bringing control back locally. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that would help.
Well, I don't know. Board of Education. What Board of Education are we talking about?
The Federal Board of Education.
Oh, well, the Federal Board of Education doesn't do anything and shouldn't be there in the first place. You're right.
Yes.
We're not supposed to have a Federal Board of Education. It's supposed to be local. The educational system is supposed to be a local thing, not a federal thing. And so, consequently, it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Of course, about half of the stuff that's federal shouldn't be there. And we won't go into the fact that we're still giving $1.5 billion to Egypt, even after they've declared war and told us we don't want it. And even after Egypt has been told by other countries that they've given $6 billion and no questions asked. I mean, they're going to get the money from somebody, and it doesn't need to be us. And so why are we giving the money away? Why are we continuing to give money away to people who don't like us?
That's a good question. Yet it's all politics.
And that's the problem. Everything is politics, and we've got a president that just pushes. See, our president is on the wrong track. He, as I say, the man is not smart. He is not very well put together. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know how to fix things. He doesn't know how to make things good or bad or indifferent. He doesn't know how to control what he wants done. And he's got a whole group of Democratic people sitting there telling him what to do. And whether he knows it or not, they are telling him what to do, and they are making their own way. And he's not accomplishing anything except really screwing up our government. And we've got to sit back and wait at this particular point until we have another election and can perhaps put some different people in there. And at this particular point, it doesn't make much difference who we put in there, because we're going to have such a huge job of changing things and converting things around that it's almost impossible to do with just one election. So we're going to have to go through a couple, three elections before we even get things toned down to where they should be again. And that's assuming we don't get another screwball in there screwing things up again.
Well, and getting back to the month of stupidity, I'm reading this headline. This is from the Huffington Post, which, again, take that credibility for what it is. This is so... You know what a tapeworm is, don't you?
I do.
Is it a good thing?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Normally people would say that. Tapeworm is not a good thing. Headline... Woman swallows tapeworm to lose weight. Doctor tells doctor she's bought it on the internet.
That's funny. That is absolutely funny. I suppose if you've got a good doctor and you can swallow the tapeworm and lose weight and then someday have it taken out, I don't know. I don't know that you can do that. Don't they multiply once you get them in there?
Oh yeah, it's a parasite. In fact, this is in Iowa. And when she told her doctor what she had done, the doctor was so stumped by the patient's bad decision that he called the state health department for guidance, and the agency told the doctor to have his patient dewormed, like, immediately to kill the parasite, because, you know, people do die from tapeworms. It's not a good thing, but here's the thing about getting back to society and responsibility. You know, are we such a society that's so based on appearance and politically correctness that somebody has to go to extremes just to to fit in?
You see, I'm afraid I would really be terrible in this case, because if I was her doctor, I'd let her die. I mean, she took that choice. She knew better than that. She knew that it can't happen. So consequently, you know, that's her. You know, I would advise her of the situation, advise her of the fact that the tapeworm is not the way to lose weight. And then if she changed her mind and wanted it taken out or wanted it to be dewormed or whatever, that's fine. Other than that, let her go. Let her do her. You know, we're back to the point of we have no longer have control of ourselves.
Right.
You know, somebody's always telling us what's good for us and what's bad for us. I mean, in this particular case, the doctor is telling us that.
Well, and I mean,
this is an absurd case, I understand, but there are other instances where the doctor is going to tell us not to do this or not to do that, and it's just a matter of his opinion or mine.
Yeah. Well, it's like they say that you know, Ron White, you can't fix stupid.
Well, that's where we have a president that we can't fix.
Yes.
I mean, I have thoroughly convinced myself. There was a point on this program where I said I was thinking that maybe the man did have some smarts. Not really. He doesn't have some smarts. I believe that probably even the point that I was referring to of when I don't remember what it was, but there was a point where I thought he had a good idea. I don't think it was his. I don't think it was his idea at all. It was people are feeding information into this president and trying to get something out of it, and they're getting it.
He's a puppet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. He is a puppet.
He's a puppet, that's all it is. And unfortunately, he's a puppet with power. He's a power puppet.
Well, he is, only if he ever had a thought of his own. I believe he's too easily manipulated to even have a thought of his own.
Oh, he's not stupid.
I think he is.
No, because here's the thing. He's gotten everything that he wanted. Unfortunately, what he wants is not what we want. And that's he's taken advantage of his office right now. You remember before they got elected, even Michelle Obama was coming out and saying that, you know, she wasn't proud of her country and everything. And now that they're in there and they're being treated like kings and queens and doing whatever they want to do and tweaking things to their liking, you know, yeah, he's getting everything he wants, pretty much.
See, I don't agree with that. I don't believe he's getting everything he wants. He's getting everything his party wants. His party is controlling everything he does. He doesn't have any real wants or desires, except that, you know, I mentioned here manipulating a person to have your... so that his opinion is yours, your opinion is his opinion, your ideas are his ideas. And that's what we've done here. We've got a president who has been so manipulated, so completely and totally manipulated, that he doesn't know what he wants. He thinks what he wants is what he's considering at the moment, and what he's considering at the moment is something that he was manipulated into thinking.
Well, one thing that he has manipulated is to manipulate the media and everybody's thinking that if you disagree with me, you're racist.
Well, he didn't do that. He's only playing on something that we have done that as a society.
Right, but it's at the forefront. That's why the media comes out and says, you know, like if you disagree with Obamacare, the fact that it can cost you $2,100 a year if you don't have it, well, you're racist. Or you're a free rider, as Nancy Pelosi is trying to get going, which hasn't worked for her yet. But you know, you disagree with his policies, you must be racist.
Well, see, again, Nancy Pelosi is one of these people that's doing the manipulating. There's a whole group of people there that are deciding what Obama thinks, and that's the sad part. Obama doesn't have any original thought. He doesn't have any original thought, I don't believe, other than to maybe play golf.
Well, and I wouldn't mind that. I mean, like you used to say, if he's off somewhere in Martha's Vineyard playing golf and that's all he's doing, great, stay there.
Yeah, really. If he would literally. The thing is, we can't do that. We can't. We depend on our president to actually make decisions and to do things. And we as a society, as a country, think we should be able to depend on our president. So we ask our president to make decisions. And if we're going to do that, then even if he's wherever he is, he can't go far enough away to not be in the loop. And so, consequently, you know, if it's the same thing, you know, if we ask him a question now, then the people who answer the question are, it's not him, it's the people who are making these decisions. And it doesn't make any difference whether we ask him in Martha's Vineyard or if we have to ask him at the White House. It's the same group of people making the decisions. It's not him making the decision.
Right. Well, that, technically, when you get right down to it, the power of the president, really, there isn't. We have the branches of government for a reason. You know, one was designed to be a check and balance system. But you know, when the system breaks down and they're more concerned about, well, the Republicans did this and the Democrats did that, and instead of the focusing on what they're really there for, the system breaks down and then we got what we got.
Well, the system has broken down entirely anyway, because as it sits, we all are aware that the president has sat there and informed us that he is not going to pay any attention to the Constitution. He's not going to pay any attention to the rules, to the laws. He's just going to do what he wants to do, and he'll just pass them and make it a law, period. And he's done that to a great deal of extent. And that's, again, I don't believe for a minute that's him doing it. That's him being manipulated by this group of people, and they're doing that.
Okay,
that's,
but who is the group of people?
Democrats.
The Democrats. So you're saying that...
I don't want to say that as a Democrat, because it's a group of people. There are Republicans involved in it. There's just a group of people that are controlling the president, and I can't name them or even put a name on them. And for different things, it's a different number of people. So but the president is not making any decisions of his own.
Okay, it's all the Democrats' fault.
No, it as I say, it's a group of people that are manipulating the president. Now, they're not all necessarily Democrats. They could be Democrats and Republicans, but there's a small group of people that are making the decisions for the president.
Maybe that's why when he's speaking and he doesn't have a teleprompter, he's like, you know, and when he's talking, you got somebody behind the scenes going, answering the questions. All he has to do is read them.
Well, you don't very often see him speaking off the cuff. You don't very often see him speaking without a teleprompter.
Well, and speaking of speaking without a teleprompter, as I am in control here. we're out of time, by the way. And again, thanks to Flycatch and others who have checked us out live. Again, if you're listening to the archives, you can always participate with your opinions by sending us an email, talk@krpradio.com. And we'll be back next week, same time.
Same station.
1 o'clock Pacific time, Wednesday. So we'll hope to see you there.
Right on. Have a good day.
Right on.
Bye.
Is that racist?
Yeah.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.